16, it says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. All right, sometimes, or I should say many times, things don't take place when you wish that they would, but rather when they please God is when they take place. Notice too, sometimes when you receive a heavenly vision, you're not to talk it over with other people or ask them what their opinion is. God gave you the vision, not the person with whom you were seeking approval from. In chapter 2, we read of a historic confrontation between Peter and Paul over food. Because when the Jews were around, Peter acted differently, which led Paul to say this to him. Chapter 2, Galatians 2, 16. He says, now he's talking to Peter. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we, all right, the we is him and Peter. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Haven't you ever had someone come to you and say, all you need to do is be a good person, you'll make it to heaven. Just do good. Have you ever heard that before? Maybe did your grandmother say that to you? Or you've heard it somewhere else? Just be good. There's going to be a lot of good people clawing outside. When that door is closed, Jesus says, no one is good. No, not one. Being a good person is not going to get you into heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ is going to get you into heaven. Everyone got that? The blood of Christ is heaven, okay? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. Colossians 1:14. It's the blood of Christ that washes away your sins, not being a good person. By the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. I read to you before Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In Galatians 2:20, Paul declares this great beloved verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For it, now, here comes the same theme now. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Meaning, if I am made right with God by keeping rules, then Jesus died for nothing, is what that means. Now, on to chapter 3, where Paul declares that someone must have cast a spell on them to have fallen away this quickly from grace like they had. Verse 1, he calls them fools. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only do I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by, colon, the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Notice there's no option 3. You can add baptize there if you want. You can add repent there if you want. Repent doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. But I'll tell you what, you'll run and do both of those when you are saved. You'll run to the waters, right, Richie? You'll run to the water. When you realize and comprehend as much as you can what happened on the cross because of you, you'll repent. You bet you will. That's what he wants to know. Did you receive the Spirit by keeping rules or by hearing the gospel? How are you saved? Verse 3, are you so stupid or foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, all right, I mean, the Holy Spirit's gotten you this far, not keeping rules. You got a whole lifetime to show and remind you how far you got keeping rules. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? That is, believing the gospel message saved you. Are you now going to move on to perfection by not eating pork? Are you now going to get saved by getting circumcised? Are you now going to get right with God by going to church on Saturday night? That's not going to get you right with God. In verse 6, we see Abraham and the Old Testament believers were saved the same way as you and I are. It says, Abraham believed God. And his faith was, doing. The word is logizo. It's an accounting word. Right out of Captain Kirk. Captain's log. Stardate 2022.3. Abraham believed God. And his faith inspired God to take, his faith inspired God to take a giant gavel, slam it down and say, not guilty. God saves Old Testament Jews the same way as he saves you. You were saved in the Old Testament by faith, believing God at his word, like Noah did. And Abraham, he said, go out. When no one ever heard of God, God said, go on, get out of your house, and I'll show you where to go later. And he goes, all right. And he left. That's faith. And that's what saved you when there wasn't a Jesus Christ around, is your faith in God. Listening to God and doing what he says is what saves you. It's what saved you. Listening to God and doing what he says. Same as today. Same as today. Verse 13, we learn the great truth that someone took your penalty and died in your place. Christ has redeemed us. That word means, by the way, means to buy out of the slave market. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. But that verse explains everything. Why God treats people different in this dispensation of time than he did back then. Because the punishment for your sins has already been carried out on his son. Now God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. The punishment for sins was poured out on his son. Isaiah 53:6, it says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Galatians 3:24, we see the law had an expiration date on it, like a carton of milk does. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, so that we might be justified by faith. Chapter 4, Paul gives them this warning because of what they've done. He said, I'm afraid for you, lest I've labored for you in vain. That's words I don't want to hear. How about you? Do you want Paul to say to you, you know, I'm afraid for you? That's what happens when you try to keep rules in order to be right with God. I mean, I'm not teaching and telling you to disregard what it says in the Ten Commandments. I'm saying to you, you can't do those to be in a right relationship with Him. You're in a right relationship with Him because of your faith. And now you've got something that they didn't have. You have got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Now it's your good pleasure to keep rules. At least the greatest two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. You do that instinctively now because Christ lives in you, the hope of glory. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. But you don't do those because someone's got a bony finger in you. You do those because you've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Don't kid yourself. That's why you do them. I'm afraid for you, he says, lest I have labored in vain. These people were falling away from the faith. Chapter 5, we're going to see exactly that. Verse 3, he says, I testify again to every man out here who becomes circumcised that he is now obligated to keep the whole law. Then he said, for those of you that remember Divorce Court on TV, he says, you have become estranged from Christ. If you were in Darren's Sunday school this morning, and if you have a King James version, that says you have become severed. Cross-reference that with your John chapter 15. A place you don't want to be, severed from the vine. This is what happened to these people that are going to try to get and maintain a relationship with God by following the law, instead of being led by the Spirit. He goes, I testify again. One hand down, stack of Bibles, his right hand. I testify to you, to everyone out here, if you become circumcised, that is for that purpose, to be right with God, like they did in the Old Testament. If you become circumcised, you are now obligated to do and keep every rule that's written in the Bible. If you want to keep rules to be right with God, then don't stop there, he's saying. You got a whole lot of more rules for you to keep. Don't stop there. You have become estranged. You who, I love the way the New King James adds the word attempt. You who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Now, in chapter 5, verse 22, we learn about the nine fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Now, last chapter. Last week, Paul warned us, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. So now today, let's start my sermon here this morning. In verse 9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. The King James says, if we don't faint. Meaning, don't give up because of all the evil around us. Do you hear about these truckers? Do you hear what happened to these truckers? They're standing up against, you know, they're standing for the freedom and the rights of people that don't want to get this vaccine and all this stuff. And these truckers are sending supplies and stuff to people in need. And they got this fund for them, this GoFundMe fund. Well, GoFundMe took all their money away from them for speaking out against the vaccine. So they confiscated all the money that they had. Now, as a giver, You know, you got to say, well, you got to throw up your hands and say, I'm just tired of this. He's saying, don't get tired of this. In spite of all of the evil that you see here. Or this fool donut king that tears up our parking lot. You know what? We're just going to leave these donuts out here. This is going to turn into a Dunkin' Donuts for the love of Pete. But no. No, you pull out the camera out there. You'll see Pastor Darren out there with his straw hat on. Pulling that chain up and down the parking lot all day. Taking all the marks, and we don't give up. We just keep on pressing on. In spite of all the evil, Pastor Darren will be out there with his chain, his section of chain on the back of his truck, straight in his parking lot, so when all of you guys come in here on Sunday morning, the parking lot looks nice. But don't give up doing it. Don't give up. Don't faint because of all the evil out here. So how can I stop from becoming weary with all the evil in the world? Answer, by remembering who you are doing it for and what reasons. Ephesians 6:7, it says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to man or men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. So he doesn't do it for you. Ultimately, he's doing it for him. Here's another, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This verse is why Christians pray the way that they do. Let me read that again. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Or this, Matthew 25:40. Jesus said, and as much as you've done this to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So let me encourage you, don't lose heart in your service to the Lord. And remember, the good you do to him. You do unto him. You are to lay up your treasures in heaven, not here on earth. What you do, store it up in heaven. Where Mr. Biden and Miss Nancy and no one else can get to it when it's stored up there. No one can tax it. No one can steal it. No one can do donuts on it. Whatever you do, do it in Jesus' name. Do it to him. Store up your treasures. All the good works that you do, store them up in heaven. Verse 10, Paul makes it clear, our giving and support and help should be done to the poor believers first who need help, not the unbelievers. Verse 10, well, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Verse 11, see with what large letters I've written to you, with my own hand. See, this letter was so serious, Paul wrote it himself. Usually they had someone called an amanuensis, would write these letters for them. He wrote this himself. Verse 12, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to get circumcised, only so that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they can boast in your flesh. That's just meaning I got me another convert here. But the cross brings persecution. Always has, always will. Check Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime. Everywhere you look for the past 2,000 years, persecution has followed the cross. Wherever it goes, wherever the gospel is preached. The reason being is all of life, church, is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle for the souls of men, women, and children the whole world over. We are engaged in a war. You are either on God's side or the enemy's side. I should have saved this for a whole nother sermon. Sorry to be going for 45 minutes here. I'm just about done. You're either on God's side or the enemy's side. The enemy will stir up strife and persecution whenever the message of the cross is preached to the prisoners of sin. But that didn't deter Paul. Verse 14, we read, he says, God forbid that I should boast. God forbid is those words again, meganoito. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What a famous verse that is. Meaning, the attractions of this evil world have been exposed and put to death by the cross. Think about it. The world has been crucified. I mean, something's died. He's saying the world has died. It's died to me. Meaning, I don't find the attraction in this world anymore, is what he's saying. And then I to the world. That is, that we, Christians, should be dead to the world, is what he's saying. Verse 15, one more jab at converted Jews who try to keep Torah. Or Christians who try to keep somebody else's book. I said Christians who try to keep somebody else's book. The New Testament is your book. The Holy Bible is your book. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. A new creation, living in a new covenant. As many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. That would be Jewish believers in Christ. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now that would be the physical results of persecution. In other words, don't call me a phony. Look at my body. Look at how I am still persecuted. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. 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 Let me sum it up, these 4 points. Number one, faith plus nothing equals salvation. Number two, the purpose of the law is to lead you to the cross so that you might be justified by faith. Number three, any other gospel is a phony. And number four, lastly, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Don't let anyone put you in bondage again, insisting that you have to live by the Old Testament in order to be right with God. That is bondage. The purpose of the law was to drive you to the knees, to your knees, because you can't keep it. It was to inspire you to cry out for a Savior, like Paul said, right? Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? The Old Testament can't save you. Paul, we just looked at him. It's a ministry of death. It's a ministry of condemnation. All we need to do now is call on the name of the Lord, and you'll keep those rules because you have got something they haven't got. Sound like the Wizard of Oz. You've got something they haven't got. You've got the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you. They didn't have that. Okay, let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
By the dawn.